Menopause can bring a lot of relief, but also can bring a lot of suffering. In this video, I am going to share with you what you can do to minimize the side effects of menopause and start actually enjoying the benefits of it.
You're watching the Dr. Jake Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dr. Jake Podcast. I'm Dr. Jake Schmutz. I'm an integrative doctor and naturopathic physician. And in this podcast, I share with you how to heal your body down to the root causes without harmful drugs or surgeries. I'm here today with my co-host, Teresa Marie, to talk about the effects of menopause on women's health.
Dr. Jake, you couldn't imagine how near and dear this episode is to my heart. I'm 40, almost 44, and menopause is ahead of me still, but it's something I have to think about. And man, I just thought I was going to be young my whole life, but not the case. So I'm definitely going to be taking notes on all that you have to share with us. I know that you work with so many women and on so many issues. Autoimmune, cancer, that kind of a thing. A lot of that menopause is part of the journey that they're on, and you do help them navigate that with all your knowledge of hormones and so forth. So I'd love to jump in and really just start. I know most of us that are listening probably know exactly what menopause is, but some of us might not. Some of us do get, I think, confused between perimenopause and menopause and those types of things. Can you first just clarify what exactly is menopause and how is that different from like perimenopause and things like that?
Let's dive in. What is menopause and what is perimenopause? So let's start with the beginning one, perimenopause. Maybe you're going through that right now, Teresa. This is the beginning points of your hormones start decreasing. You are still able to get pregnant during this time, but your periods start to get irregular. It's going to become much more difficult to get pregnant during perimenopause. You might get spotting, or you might get really heavy periods, or you get really light periods, but your estrogen and progesterone ratios are changing. Like you might get too little estrogen compared to your progesterone, too much estrogen compared to your progesterone. DHEA and testosterone levels start fluctuating, but they don't go all the way low like in menopause. And perimenopause, you might start to get a little hot flashes. You might start getting some weight gain and some emotional disturbances that can happen with that. But a menopause is when your hormones, you hardly have any estrogen left in your body. You're not having periods anymore. It's when you're not having a period for a long period of time. I'm not remembering the exact time. I think it's about 6 months to 12 months of not having a period for us to absolutely diagnose you with menopause. But it's when your hormones are low, estrogen is low, your progesterone starts to get low, your testosterone decreases, your DHEA decreases also.
Get to a
And then we have some other blood tests actually confirm that.
Now, do you get to a place where you actually have nothing, no testosterone, no DHEA, no estrogen, no progesterone, or are they just such a small amount that they barely show up? Like, how low are we talking about?
Do we get to a place in women that your estrogen is totally eliminated, progesterone is eliminated, testosterone, DHEA? This all depends on the woman. But eventually, most women get to a place that estrogen is hardly showing up and progesterone is hardly showing up. A lot of women still have some testosterone, and some women have really high testosterone even, but a lot of times it starts decreasing a lot, but it's not totally eliminated. And DHEA isn't a totally eliminated, but it just gets low, a low range of normal typically, or sometimes even lower than that. This all depends on the woman. But over time, the older you get, estrogen and progesterone will not be there anymore. But I get surprised sometimes. I've seen women that are in 65 and they still have some estrogen, 15 to 20 on their blood work. So it's really interesting. But majority of people, it's like less than 0.5 of estradiol.
And that would explain, I think, why I've seen some old ladies with like facial hair sometimes where they'll have like little hairs that are sticking out. I'm assuming that's because they had testosterone still, but not the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then their body just
got it.
Compensate. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So obviously, there are some positive effects that a woman might look forward to menopause. I can't wait. I'd love to talk about those first, like just once over on obviously the benefits, like what kind of relief it can bring to some women. But then let's jump into some of the negative effects that they might experience long term.
So let's dive in. What are some of the positive effects of menopause? So probably the favorite one of most women is you're not having periods anymore, which is awesome, right? You don't have to deal with the cramping, the bleeding, all the emotional disturbances that can happen or whatever. With menopause, that's gone. That's awesome. That's great. Also, you...
I don't have to be afraid of getting pregnant anymore. That's going to be awesome. That could be
wild.
Yeah,
that's a huge benefit too. You don't have to do birth control or have to worry about that or any timing or anything. Yeah, you're not going to get pregnant anymore. So that's that. No worry there. It's not like worrying about missing a period or anything like that. So that's definitely a huge bonus too. So I think those are the top two that I could think of probably the most beneficial things of menopause.
So I know that the negative effects that a lot of people are aware of, we hear our moms and our grandmothers complain about it, our aunts and so forth, where, okay, they've got this hot flashes. That's the one I hear about often. What are some other just common symptoms that women experience when menopause hits? And then we can jump into the long term.
What are some of the negative effects that happens with menopause? So what happens is, like we talked about, your estrogen and your progesterone, testosterone, DHEA decrease. And there's always symptoms that go along with that. So for example, with estrogen, your estrogen decreases. Yeah, you're going to get hot flashes. Most women know about that. But what happens also is that you're going to get weight gain in specific areas, usually in your hips and your abdomen is where you gain the weight there. Also, your memory is going to get more poor. You're going to have emotional disturbances, many times some depression and irritability. And also your bones are going to start weakening. And so that's going to increase your risk of osteoporosis. And I talked about the memory, but also decreased estrogen can lead to Alzheimer's disease. So what are some of the symptoms with progesterone? So progesterone can lead to, decreased progesterone can lead to weight gain also, but it leads to insomnia, difficulty falling asleep. It leads to depression and anxiety, and also leads to bloating and headaches. Testosterone, so that leads to decreased libido. It could lead to hair thinning, also weight gain and difficulty building muscle. Decreased DHEA levels can lead to obesity also. A lot of good research on that. Also poor muscle mass formation, depression, and cardiovascular disease. So those are all the negative effects that can happen when your hormones start decreasing. And a lot of these things are like, hey, that's just what happens with age, right? You have increased risk of your bones breaking, you have increased risk of cardiovascular disease, and you have Alzheimer's disease. These are all diseases of old age. What can we do about it when this is a natural process? And there are some things we definitely can do to help at least decrease your risk of some of these diseases.
I definitely want to hear more about that. You're right. It does seem, yeah, this is what old ladies have. But you're listing all the diseases that my aunts and my grandmothers and so many people that I've loved that have been able to have a long life experienced. Yep. But I don't think a lot of people recognize or know that this specifically for women is correlated to their hormone issues. We don't see it as prevalent in men because they don't have the same drop that we have. They have their other issues that they experience when they get older, but not the same level that we're seeing here. What are some of the ways that women can navigate through menopause in a way that can extend their longevity and minimize the diseases that can take place from having low hormones through menopause?
What are some of the things that we can do to decrease some of the side effects of menopause or increase our longevity? Is the best thing that I like to do is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. So that is different than hormone replacement therapy. They are similar but different. Hormone replacement is that you give just the hormone. You don't really check in detail of the levels of the hormone. And also you're usually giving a horse urine type of estrogen. It's not coming from wild yams. Bioidentical hormones is coming from wild yams. Sometimes it's coming from soy, and it is prescribed in a way that's biological to the body. So your body would naturally make it, not making the levels too high in hormone replacement. Many times they don't care as much about how high your estrogen levels is. It's just about taking away your symptoms like hot flashes or vaginal dryness, et cetera, that go along with that. But bioidentical is prescribing exactly how your body would make it, not going too high, not going too low. It's coming from a natural source. And then we always check in every year to make sure that the hormones are well balanced. So what we do is we put them in the right range based on the research. So estradiol, for example, we like to keep that level at, based on your blood level, 30 to 50. Progesterone, we like to keep that around 5 to 10. DHEA, we like to keep that around 200. Testosterone, total testosterone, we want to keep that around like 50 to 70. So these are some of the numbers that when you go to a doctor that is an expert in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and treating menopause and decrease in longevity, this is what they're looking at. But let's dive into like labs aren't perfect, right? Not every woman is the same. This is based on research and big cohorts of people, but What I see with women is some women can't get their levels to those levels that I talked about. Their receptors inside their cells might be more sensitive than other women. So we need to be cognizant of that, and we pay attention to the symptoms that the woman is experiencing, like negative effects with hormones that you could get is maybe water retention, a lot of breast tenderness, maybe more emotional disturbances like anxiety and depression. So when I see these type of things happening in women, we decrease the doses to a level that they don't experience these symptoms, but the labs still look good. We go to the lowest level that we can, still get the longevity without any of the side effects that go along with it.
Now, is it healthy for a woman to go from nothing, like they hit menopause, they've got nothing, and then they go and they get on bioidentical hormones and all of a sudden they've got all this hormones flooding through their body? Or is it better for them to start earlier, like maybe in the perimenopause phase, so that their body doesn't have this drastic change? Or does it not matter?
Is it healthy to go from zero estrogen to like 50 estrogen based on your blood work? Based on the research, health-wise, not a problem. But a lot of women, if you go too quick, they're going to have symptoms. They're not used to having the hormones, so they might get a little bit more emotional. They might get a lot of breast tenderness, might get some cramping if they still have their uterus. They might even get some bleeding if you go too quick. And women are really happy they don't have their period anymore. They don't want a new period. So I always take it slow every time with my patients. But the longevity-wise, no, it's not a problem. But actually enjoying life, yeah, you want to take it slow. Don't go too high too quick. I always start low and work up to those levels.
Now, these levels that you've given, the 30 to 50 for estradiol, the 5 to 10 for progesterone, 200 for DHEA, and 50 to 75 to testosterone, are these the hormone levels of a 20-year-old woman, a 30-year-old woman, a 40-year-old woman? Where would they probably fall into as far as like a typical woman's hormones?
Yeah, these levels that I am talking about here, like the levels that I just talked about, they are usually a woman in their 30s and low 40s. That's where their levels would be.
Is it safe for a woman of menopausal age to increase it to the levels of a 20-year-old woman?
Is it safe to increase levels to a 20-year-old woman? I would say many times women don't need to go that high to get the benefits. And also, I don't like to get my estrogen that high because there is potential increased risk of breast cancer. So I like to get the health benefits without the mild effects that can happen. And if we get your estrogen too high too long, I think you're going to have increased risk of breast cancer, which I don't want. So I don't like to go higher than that. I know there are a lot of hormone prescribing doctors out there that go really high, especially on testosterone and on estrogen. And some go really high on their progesterone. You tailor it to each patient, but I'm not a huge fan of majority of patients going that high.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, when you bring up the estrogen issue in breast cancer, it reminds me of the nurse's health study that came out in the 1990s, which brought a lot of this knowledge to light. Can you speak a little bit on that and where it went right in helping us see some things, but where there was some gaps in some of the research that was found?
Yeah, so around the 1990s or early 2000s, I don't remember the exact date there, there was a nurse's health study that came out that was an epidemiological study. It was over like 20 or 30 years that they tracked women and they checked all kinds of things with women. And one of the pieces that they looked at is, okay, hormone replacement therapy and cancer. And they did see that women that were taking hormone replacement therapy did have an increased risk of getting breast cancer. But what's interesting about the study too is they had a 30% decreased rate of total cause mortality. So what, in other words, meaning they were living 30% longer than those that weren't doing hormone replacement therapy. So you were actually living longer with hormone replacement therapy. You might have been getting breast cancer more often, but you're still living longer. And that is because of the decreased fracture risk. So your bones get stronger. The decreased risk of cardiovascular disease, so heart attacks, strokes, etc. And also they were getting Alzheimer's as often. So these are major causes of death. Cancer is not the only cause there. There's a lot of other causes, right? And what's interesting is those women that were doing hormone replacement therapy were getting very early stage zero, stage ones type of breast cancers compared to those that were getting diagnosed with more, they were having more severe breast cancers at that point. I don't know exactly why that's the case, but that's what we were seeing in that nurse's health study, that they were getting small cancers compared to the others. But in this study too, they weren't actually looking at, like I was saying, certain numbers that I look at and where I want to keep them. They weren't looking at that at all. They're just looking at hormone replacement therapy and increased risk. And probably a lot of these women had really high estrogen levels because they weren't testing them. They were just prescribing estrogen until they felt good and how they wanted to feel. They had decreased hot flashes. They didn't have vaginal dryness. Their moods were better. Their energy were better, et cetera. So yeah, that's that study. It's really interesting. We could go on a long time about the ins and outs of that study.
And I know that one of the things I've been looking at in my own journey is that there's different ways that estrogen can be metabolized. And there's some ways that don't really have high risk of breast cancer and things like that. But then there's other ways that body can metabolize that do increase it. And there's supplements that some women can take to help prevent it to be metabolized in a negative way and so forth. So seeing a doctor like yourself could really help break those down, get like a Dutch test, see exactly how they're breaking things down. And then you can help them navigate, okay, what do I do about my particular, you mentioned each woman is different. My breakdown, how my body breaks down estrogen, what should I do about it? Is there anything that I can do to improve it and so forth?
Yeah.
So if a woman is listening to this, or somebody who has somebody in their life who is entering menopause, perimenopause, and they're concerned about this, they definitely want to take a look at what their estrogen levels are looking like. They want to live a long and healthy life. And so they might maybe even want to take some bioidentical hormones. How can they get a hold of you, Dr. Jake?
Yeah, if you want to reach out to me or some of my other great doctors, visit our website, integrativemedica.com. Find our phone number there, give it a call, talk to our receptionist to set up a visit. You also could set up a visit directly from the site there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Jake, for your expertise today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You can click on the show notes for details on all that we've talked about today. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Dr. Jake Wellness. If you liked this episode, let us know and leave us a positive review. We'll see you all next week.
Hey, Dr. Jake, thank you for your time today. And if you enjoyed the show, then do us a favor and leave a review. It helps more people to find the show, which could save their life. And remember, this is a podcast and should not replace personalized attention from a medical professional like Dr. Jake. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, cancer of any stage, or a life-changing illness, visit our website today and schedule a virtual appointment with one of our doctors who can lead you to a treatment plan in your area. That's integrativemedica.com. Integrative, M-E-D-I-C-A.com.
Thank you for listening to the Integrative Medica podcast with Dr. Jake. To hear past episodes and get alerts for the future, subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform and be sure to follow us on YouTube as well. Just search for Integrative Medica with Dr. Jake.